Thank you all. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10.
What I'd like to do is read a portion of John 10 to you again. And I want to tell you a silly story. And I know it's silly, but I want to tell you. And then after that, we're going to explore a little bit of what it means to hear the voice of God. I'm Jim Martin, and I've been vice president of Cardiff School of Theology in Memphis. And this morning, I don't have my mic on. That's better. This morning, we have graduates who are preaching literally all over the United States. This fall, one of our graduates will serve on the Bible faculty of every Christian college associated with Churches of Christ in the U.S. And this morning, I'm grateful to get to be here because there's nothing more important this morning than God's people coming together and opening the Word of God together. How about that? All right, so let's turn to John 10. And what I'd like for you to listen for, anything that has to do with listening to the voice of the Lord, anything that happens to do with hearing the Lord, okay, if you'd listen, watch for those words, John 10, verse 1. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. And therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. And all who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. And they will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Listen to his voice. Boy, he stresses over and over in John 10 the importance of listening to the Lord. Well, the silly story. John Maxwell tells the story of six men in a boat. Three were at one end of the boat, three were at the other end of the boat. They're out on the water. Water's coming into the boat. There's a hole on one end of the boat. And three of these people are frantically scooping water out. The other three are watching them work. Y'all ever seen that happen at work before? Where some watch and some do. Three frantically scooping water out, three watching them. And finally, one of the three that are just watching, one of the three says, you know, I'm sure glad that hole's not on our end of the boat. Isn't that a silly story? It's a silly story because it's... But it does remind me, and I maybe remind you, that we're all in this together. We're all in life together. Every single one of us has a sin problem. Every single one of us. Every single one of us, we believe as Christian people, every single one of us desperately needs the Lord. We all do. We're all in this together. We'd like to think sometimes that maybe we could kind of create a little life where we can just get away from everything that's bad. If we could just live in places that were safe, if we could just be around Christian folk all the time. And that's not our life, is it? We're all in this together. Well, Jesus says, I want you to listen to my voice. But you know, all of you know who live in 2017, that the voices are pretty loud these days, aren't they? And there's lots of voices that want our attention. If I'd brought my phone in, it'd be sitting there on the corner of that pew. Maybe you've got your phone with you. All day long, my phone lights up. And it's a text that comes in, I check my email, and there's email here. Oh, I go to Facebook, and there's a message for you. Somebody sent a tweet. Oh, they've notified you. People want your attention, and they want my attention. Sometimes people are loud. They're loud. Y'all know people at work, they just know what you need to be doing. Y'all know people like that? You've got this problem, and they're people, they just know how you need to be handling this problem. And sometimes they can just be emphatic that this is the only way this goes. They want you to listen to their voice. We turn on our television. Oh my goodness. We watch the news, and here is this commotion in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the voices are loud and the voices are intense, and you cannot believe what everyone's saying, and it's violent, and you think, oh my goodness. And what do as Christian people? On the first day of the week, we come together, and once again, we open our Bibles, and we say, you know, before I do anything and go anywhere this week, I need a clear word from the Lord. I need to be listening to the Lord, because the voices all around me are loud. This text, this is familiar. Familiar text. You've read this a lot, I would guess, through the years. John 10. Sheep and shepherd. This sounds like long ago and far away, doesn't it? I almost feel like I need to dust off my Bible a little bit at this point. I grew up in Dallas. I didn't grow up around sheep, did you? Maybe some of you did, but I don't think most of us in Little Rock did. Sheep and shepherd. That sounds long ago. But to these people, it wasn't long ago. It was where they lived. Jesus knew they would understand. Jesus says, you know, you can think of me as a shepherd. Think of yourselves as sheep. And he says, there are wolves, and there are thieves. There are folks that would do you no good. But he says, this shepherd, this sheep, why the sheep listen to the shepherd's voice. He calls his own sheep by name. The sheep listen, they know the shepherd's voice. See, this is familiar to these people. They know that sheep were dependent upon a shepherd. They know that the shepherd would make sure the sheep had water and food. And they know that the shepherd would often lay down at the gate of the pen to protect the sheep at night. They know that the shepherd knew the sheep so well, and the sheep knew the shepherd, that the sheep recognized the shepherd's voice. They knew this. And Jesus is basically saying, this is what I'm like. But the one thing I want you to hear this morning is Jesus is saying, if you're going to be my followers, if you're going to be my sheep, listen to me. Listen to my voice. Have y'all learned there are wolves and thieves in the world? Oh my goodness. You ever bought something and This deal was supposed to be the greatest deal, and you bought it, reason I know all this, I bought it before. You bought it, and then you found out, to quote my daddy, it was a piece of junk. We've done that before, haven't we? We've learned that there are sheep, there are wolves, and there are thieves, and there are folks in this world that have loud voices, but we can't necessarily trust. But who do we trust? Our shepherd. Our shepherd. Jesus himself. I'm going to tell you a word about Jesus' voice. Number one, Jesus' voice is a protecting voice. A protecting voice. Jesus' voice will always lead you to what is good and right. Some of you know, you've lived long enough that there are folks that will say things to you that hurt. And there are some folks, and they're just up to no good. With Jesus, you can know his words are always right and good, and he has your best interest at heart. His voice is a safe voice. I don't remember the year, but I remember my daddy had gotten a brand new job. My dad was in sales most of his working life. My dad and mom moved from Little Rock to Dallas years ago, and my dad went into sales. Anyway, I remember this point in time where my dad went to work for one of his friends there in the church. This friend had that kind of air-blown hair, you know. As a little boy, I remember looking, you know, seeing that man had that big hair. His friend had that big hair, and he went to work for his friend. And my dad was, what he was doing was he was going to retail cloth shops and selling material. His territory were parts of Arkansas and Louisiana and East Texas. He'd be gone all week and come home on the weekends. And this went on. He got this job. This went on for a number of weeks. And then one day, I remember coming home, and my mother was standing in front of the stove with her hand on her hip and a spatula in her hand. And my dad was standing there, all 6'5" of him, in his suit. And he was bouncing on his tiptoes like this. And I heard my mother say, "You've got to be kidding." And he had just told her, "He's not going to pay me. He's not going to pay me. My friend's not going to pay me." Oh, how awkward. His friend's not going to pay him. He's been working. And what do you do about the relationship? But what do you do about the bills? I remember coming home late one night, and I walked into our kitchen, and my daddy was sitting there, and he had his bills lined up neatly in rows. And I asked him what he was doing, and he said, "I'm trying to figure out how to pay our bills." He was out of a job. My daddy learned that day that sometimes you cannot always trust a voice. But let me tell you, you can absolutely trust the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. You may be in the back this morning or up the balcony, and it was just hard for you to get here today. You've had quite a week at work, or quite a week with an ex, or quite a week with in-laws, or quite a week with whatever. I'm telling you, all of us need to hear again that you can trust the voice of the Lord. It's a protecting voice. Here's a second one. Jesus' voice is a guiding voice. A guiding voice. The sheep followed him, and where Jesus led, where this shepherd would go, it was good. And where Jesus leads, it is good. His voice is a guiding voice. And you can know that when you follow him and you trust him, you will end up in a good place. I've got this phone, you know, and we take it on trips. Not I guess it was a couple of years ago we had moved to Memphis. I've been in Memphis 3.5 years. We moved from Waco, Texas. I preached there 20 years, and then we moved to Memphis. And we got this daughter and son-in-law and perfect little grandchild in Oklahoma City. And we were going to go see them one day. We were living in Memphis, but we'd never driven there before from Memphis. We'd always come from Texas. And so I checked my iPad and saw the way to go and all that, and here we went. Got her address in my phone. And it's just pretty easy to get there from Memphis to Oklahoma City. You're basically on the interstate most of the way. We got on the outskirts of Oklahoma City, and my phone started talking. There's a woman in the phone, she announced that she started talking, and she said, "Exit next right." Well, I looked at that, what was coming up and where we were. We were nowhere near our daughter's house. I just thought I would go on, and so we just drove on, and she started talking some more. She said, "Exit next right and turn around." And we just went on. And then she was pretty relentless. She said, "Exit next right and turn around." I just turned her off at that point and went on and turned it back on, and we somehow got there. She was wrong that time. Most of the time she's right. See, you don't have to wonder that with Jesus. You don't have to read your Bible and say, "You know, I wonder if this is right or not. I wonder if I should ignore this teaching and maybe accept this teaching, and maybe it'll all sort of..." You don't have to do that with Jesus. When Jesus is guiding, it is always right. You can just count on that. Jesus' voice is a safe voice. It's a guiding voice. It's a clarifying voice. We come on Sunday morning after hearing a jillion voices, and we're reminded again, we can trust the voice of Jesus. I'm going to go over there for a second, because I want to remind us that we not only listen to the voice of Jesus individually, but we listen to the voice of Jesus as a congregation. And you're in transition right now, and the elders have invited me to assist them and the search committee in this transition. And I've kind of been on both ends of this before, because for, well, right about 38 years now, I've been preaching. And 8 of those were North Alabama, and 3 of those were Kansas City, Missouri, and the 20 of those were in Waco, Texas. So I've been on the other end of people calling and saying, "Hello, I'm chair of the search committee of this church, and I would like to talk to you." So I've kind of experienced that, and then at this point in my life have helped some churches set up these search committees. The process you're using is used all over the country, and it is basically where a lot of good people do the hard, hard legwork of this search process. And I met yesterday with your search group and Roger Rowe. I was very impressed with their spirit and the way they were coming at this. And then ultimately, they'll present 3 possibilities to the elder group, and they'll make a decision. But what do we do in the meantime? We pray, and we go on and we be the church. We go on and be who we are. And we go on and keep our Bibles open and listen to the voice of the Lord. Well, why in the world would we not want to hear the voice of the Lord as human beings? I mean, if His voice is safe and protecting, guiding, and clarifying, 2 reasons. Sometimes we don't listen to the Lord because we're so distracted. Many of us are very, very busy. Man, we're busy. We're a busy people. Nothing wrong with being busy. Except sometimes you can be moving so fast, you can be grinding it out day after day, and you kind of realize, you know, I need to be on my knees, and I need to have my Bible open, and I need to spend some time in silence before the Lord. But sometimes we can get distracted like that. And to be just real frank with you, is that okay? Sometimes we don't listen to the Lord because of our own sin. Our own sin. And what I mean by that is this. It's where I know I'm in the middle of a situation that is absolutely wrong. What I'm doing, what I'm thinking, where I am in my life is just wrong. But I'm not about to give that up. Well, it is awfully hard to listen to the Lord and respond with obedience when, by George, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And that's a heart where we really need to hear a word of repentance. Well, the voice of the Lord. It was Luke 9, about verse 35, the story of the Mount of Transfiguration, where the Father said regarding the Son, "This is my Son. This is my Son. Listen to Him. Listen to Him." Move to the next slide, if you would. Luciano Pavarotti, great Italian tenor. In fact, I'm told that he pretty well set the standard for opera singers, those who sang tenor after the Second World War. Pavarotti was from northern Italy, died a few years ago at 71, buried in Modena in northern Italy. He was on the radio one time being interviewed, and he told the interviewer, he said, "When people turn on their radio and they hear music, they know if it's me. When people turn on their radio and they hear music, they know if it's me." He said, "My voice is like that of no other." Those words are the words for the voice of Jesus. His voice is like that of nobody else. Nobody else. There's a wonderful story Tom Long tells of this New York society, kind of this New York society matron in the 1940s. She had this long touring car, and she decided to take her car out for the day and drive over to New Jersey. She was going to go to Princeton. And she pulled in front of the Princeton Hotel. And I'm told that in those days, it was quite a hotel. This New York society matron, she pulled in front of that hotel in that long car. And she got out holding her luggage, and she sashayed all the way to the front. There was this little man right in front of the hotel, kind of peering through one of the windows. She walked up to the little man and she said, "Take my luggage in." She pulled out a quarter out of her purse, pressed it into the palm of his hand. She sashayed into the lobby, and he stood there looking at her luggage and the quarter. The little man didn't work there. The little man was Albert Einstein. He lived a few blocks from the hotel, and this was a time in his life in which he had an office at Princeton University. Einstein said he would often walk from his house to the university, and he would stop at the hotel and just kind of peer through the window, just kind of catch his breath and rest for a minute, and then continue his walk to the office. Somebody said, "Dr. Einstein, what did you do?" quarter in your hand, luggage at your feet. He said, I took her luggage in, set it in the lobby, and walked away. I love that story. I love this story because it's a story of mistaken identity. She thought she was looking at a hotel employee. The one she was looking at was one of the most renowned scientists of that century. Could it be? I don't know. This is for you. Could it be that the one voice you need to hear is right in front of you? Could it be that the one voice you need to hear most is the voice of the Lord?
Yes.
You ever spend a lot of time just looking and looking and looking for that thing you need most? Do you ever do that? Some of us do. So for 20 years, Charlotte and I lived in Waco, Texas. I preached at a church about a block, actually about a half block from a hospital, Providence Hospital. Always thought that was a good name for a hospital, Providence Hospital. Charlotte and I lived there. We reared our two daughters there. It was home for many years. There was one morning when I got to Providence Hospital pretty early. I just remember I was going there to pray with someone, probably before a surgery, and got there real early that morning. Went in to see the person, and then came back out, got on the elevator. I was on one of the upper floors, got on the elevator, and there were a lot of people on that elevator. In fact, the elevator was almost full, as I recall. The elevator dropped down a floor. Some more people got on, including a nurse. In fact, now there were so many people on the elevator, this nurse got on, immediately turned around, and she just faced the crease of the door as it closed. When those doors closed, this is what we heard. It was that nurse. And I don't know what had just happened. I don't know if she had just come out of a room where a patient was dying and she was just exasperated as to what to do. I don't know if she just had a run-in with her supervisor. I don't know if maybe she had worked all night and now she was going to have to work additional hours. I don't know. But the rest of us on the elevator, we were doing proper elevator etiquette, which, you know, look straight ahead, say nothing. And so we're all looking straight ahead and we hear her sigh. There are a couple other nurses on the elevator, and there's one right over here to my left. I was kind of at the back. Right over here to my left. And she evidently knew this nurse that had just got on, and she said on the elevator that is silent up to now, and she says, Mary, how's your day? And Mary, this nurse, she's still facing the crease of the door. Mary says, I am richly blessed. I'm so richly blessed. You thought we were quiet before. We were really quiet when she said that. And we go down to the bottom floor. Well, there at Providence, when you get off the elevator there on the ground floor, it fans off to the right or fans off to the left. Both go to the parking lots. I was going to the left, and I ended up right behind Mary, her friend, and another nurse. And I can hear what they're saying. And one of the nurses says, Mary, me too. I'm richly blessed. Some of you are dealing with some pretty knotty problems in your life. And some of us, we've just come out of a tough chapter and things are a bit better now. But do you know that no matter where you are, no matter where you are, if you're hearing the voice of the Lord, and if you're listening to the voice of the Lord, right in front of you, you have what you most need. You have what you most need. There are things I want, and I'm sure there are things you want. There are a couple of things I think I need. I'm sure there are a couple of things you think you need. I won't argue with any of that. But one thing I want to do on this morning, the first day of the week, after just partaking of the Lord's Supper, I want to acknowledge with you that we have what we most need, and that is the voice of the Lord.
Yes.
And the call from Him is to listen and obey. And that's good news, because He is a good God. Why don't we sing for just a moment? If you'd like the prayers of this gathering here, I know this church would be glad to pray for you. Let's stand and sing.